everyone, welcome back to But Why the Podcast, and today we are revisiting an episode from the past again, Pokemon. As always, I'm your host, Kate. I'm here with Adrian.
Hey, how's it going?
And Matt.
Hello.
And a special guest, Ryan.
Hello.
Hi, Ryan.
Since you guys reviewed Solo that I've been on, it's been a while.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I thought you were on Overwatch before or after that?
I thought before. I might be wrong.
It's been a lot of episodes. I get confused.
It's all a blur at some point.
That's fair. Yeah, I think my own podcast is about to hit 151 in the next month or so. And we're like, man, what have we covered exactly? We have no idea anymore.
Hey, 151 is a perfect number for you guys to do another Pokemon episode.
We are doing a Pokemon special.
Oh, there we go.
Hey, man. For those listening at home, you should say what podcast that is.
That is Game Boys over at GoombaStomp.com. It's a co-op and multiplayer podcast. It's all about video games. It's fun.
Did y'all time that for the release of Detective Pikachu and the number?
No.
Did you plan that far in advance, Ryan? Is that what happened?
I think it's going to be like episode 147 this week, but we are covering Detective Pikachu. It's just 151's coming up.
Okay. So, this is actually kind of surprising because Matt is leading the episode for Pokemon today.
Matt,
you should take it away and lead us, leader.
Oh, joy. This is going to be bad. No.
I have a question. How many Pokemon can you name, Matt? Outside of the original 151. Perfect. I love this.
I can go for a while, but outside of that, we might be messed up.
I can name Sobble. That's about it.
Does that even count? Because he's not existing yet.
He's adorable. You leave that precious baby alone. He counts.
Sobble later. So as we always start, I do have a question, and I kind of want to kind of do a question, kind of like to summarize this episode of like. We recorded this episode. It was episode 43 November of 2017. I didn't realize that too. Trust me, I kept getting confused and stuff. How have your feelings or views of Pokemon changed since then? Have we got any more excitement or anything? You guys go back and actually start doing Pokemon things at all?
Well, I'm seeing Detective Pikachu tomorrow, so I'm pretty hyped about the Pokemans. I haven't like really gone to like play anything outside of just like Pokemon Go on occasion. Mainly just because when Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee came out, I was too broke to buy it. So I kind of missed that wave of people playing it. But with the new gen stuff coming out, I'm pretty sure I'm gonna cop it and get back into the actual Pokemon stuff and not like just playing Pokemon Go on my Switch. But I'm excited. I'm ready. The new fire Pokemon looks dope, so I'm all about it.
What do you got for us, Kate?
I don't stand by my there are only 151 stance as hard just because Sobble was introduced to the world and he's a perfect baby.
Perfect, because I was going to have to fight you on that one, because even in the very first movie, they introduced Gen 2 Pokemon. And you were like, oh, no, it's only the first gen. And I was like, oh, okay. No.
On the episode, I went up to Gen 3. I went up to Gen 3 on the episode. But, yeah, no. I still just, there's just so many of them, but I understand it, I guess. I am very excited for Detective Pikachu, and it wasn't until I saw the trailer on the movie theaters that I was like, oh, wow, this is perfect. So I'm Pokemon'd. I am effectively Pokemon'd and happy to be Pokemon'd. So I would say I'm like more hype than I was. I mean, like it's less nostalgic now and more like, oh, this is actually something that I'm partaking in.
Now, like side question: does anyone besides me here own a 3DS? Because Detective Pikachu, like it is a game, and the movie's based off a tiny bit of that.
Sadly, no. Or at least I do not, and I know Kate does not. I did know it was based off a game, but no.
Yeah, no, I don't have a 3DS.
Okay.
This is why you are here, Ryan. Because we know you've been a lifer in Pokemon.
So that's not exactly true. I played through, like, I started off with Red and Blue, and I played through Gen 4, and then I took a pretty long break up until about Gen 7. And once Gen 7 came back around, I got back into Pokemon, went through, played the ones that I'd missed, and got super into collecting, and it got to the point where I'm now, you know, one Pokemon away from having every single Pokemon in my box, and I'm just like, oh, this is eating away at me that I missed the opportunity to get this one, but I'm so close. And so I'm just super excited for A, Detective Pikachu, and B, for the new games this year.
Sweet. Yeah, basically the same thing, kind of like what Kate said. It seemed like our first episode was more nostalgia thing, and the reason I asked this question, because we have had a lot of stuff come out, which is obviously why we're coming back to revisit it. And so it does seem to be like more, you know, kind of in the now versus like, oh, I did this back in 1999. So,
had I had seen the Pokemon I Choose You movie before we recorded?
Yes, you saw it right before him.
Yes.
Okay, cool. I just wanted to make sure we talked. Okay.
I was going to mention that. So, quick summary of episode 43. We covered a lot of the background history. It was led by Adrian. We kind of went over the origins of Pokemon, where they came. We went over a lot of the forms of media, the games, the anime, the film, trading cards. We talked quite a bit about a lot of the early generations of Pokemon, how they were favorites. Basically, Kate, and I want to say Adrian, some, but I haven't been a while since I remember it, yelled, "Get off my lawn," about Pokemon. I know Kate for sure.
It was me.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
I told him that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not get off my lawn for Pikachu. Kate was pretty get off my lawn for Pokemon.
Oh, I was extremely get off my lawn. Get the fuck off. I'm still like that now.
I mean, I really only like played up to like half of like Gen 4, and then I just, you know, stopped playing the game. So like, might get off my lawn. I'm only get off my lawn when like little kids try to tell me about like Charizard and stuff, and I'm like, come on, bro.
Nah, I grew up.
What you know about Charizard? What you know about Charizard? You know about my holographic Charizard?
I do see a common theme of everybody gave up after Gen 4, so I feel bad for Gen 5 and 6 apparently.
Which is a shame, because Gen 5 is when Pokemon actually like started examining itself a bit, and it started asking like, is it all right for these Pokemon to be fighting each other based on the like wills of humans? And so Gen 5 actually has a great story, but it is a slog. Like, that game is so slow. And then
Pokemon, the first movie.
What?
When is Sobble?
Sobble is Gen 8.
Oh my gosh!
Kate, yeah, that's the upcoming gen. Sobble speaks to me on a deep level, because we're both, you know, depressed little creatures.
So some of the but why those we had for episode 43, we kind of went into their popularity, the family value between Ash and Pokemon, so a lot of the fan theories, the pop culture references, and then kind of transcending generations and whatnot. So anyways, why are we coming back to revisit this? Because basically, new generations, both Pokemon-wise, as we've already mentioned, and just kind of people-wise, will be kind of the main theme today, because actually a lot has happened since we recorded this in November of 27. And kind of like, what's moving forward? Because even like starting the episode, the opening question and Kate saying of like, I went from nostalgia to kind of like, I'm back into Pokemon. And the same thing with Adrian of like, I'm ready to like be Pokemon or be a Pokemon again and whatnot.
Yeah, it's been great to see the like Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee's influence on people, because I know it brought a lot of people back into Pokemon. The Wii U never really had any like great hold, and the only Pokemon game it had was the Pokken. The Switch already is off to like a much better start, and I know a lot more people who are like excited for Gen 8 because they played Let's Go, or because, you know, they actually got into a tiny bit of like Pokemon Go or Generation 7 when it got its like remastered versions.
Yeah. So we'll kind of start with like kind of the media. So moving us into but why those are moving forward of like, let's kind of start with what some of the media that have been released since then. So since when we released this episode last time, we were kind of celebrating Pokemon Sun and Moon, which I was actually confused when I first did the notes. I thought it was the Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee, but I realized we were off by a year. And also the I Choose You movie had just released, and Adrian had just saw it. So kind of the movies since we've had that was Pokemon I Choose You, which was the reboot of, I guess, the cartoon franchise. And since then, they now have Pokemon The Power of Us, released last year of 2018. And then Pokemon, a to-be-determined English title, It's basically a Japanese title is Mewtwo Strikes Back Evolution. It releases in July in 2019, assuming a November 2019 North American release, if I'm following the pattern. So, obviously, Adrian, you watched the first one. Have you actually caught up or looking anything for this next movies?
For The Power of Us, I didn't even know this was a movie.
Oh, yes, it's a sequel, direct sequel to...
And then I didn't know that they were doing... I mean, I knew that they were doing, like, the Mewtwo Strikes Back thing, but I don't... I didn't, like, go look to find, like, a Japanese sub of it.
Yeah, so Mewtwo Strikes Back is them remaking the first movie using CGI. So it is Pokemon, the first movie, just remastered in, like, CGI instead of, like, their hand-drawn animation. It looks...
What? You tell me that I gotta watch.
It looks not great. The Pokemon look all right, but the, like... human like characters, they look wrong.
I mean, I really don't want to see Pikachu slapping Pikachu in CG. Like, are you gonna tell me Ryan Reynolds is gonna come slap another Ryan Reynolds Pikachu? Level of CGI?
No, I can't it's handle not that. Nearly that level. It's
okay, because I can't handle that.
Yeah, that would break me. But no, this is like just a new art style, and it honestly doesn't look that great. I haven't seen The Power of Us. Is that what it was called?
Yes, The Power of Us.
But I had meant to, and I didn't get around to it, so.
Is it like, Ultraman. Is that the type of, like, style that it is? Like, that kind of, like, weird CG anime hybrid, or?
I would have to pull up the trailer, but I believe so. It lacks the charm of the first movie, and I don't really know why they're doing it otherwise, like, other than, you know, that movie is golden, so they think they can sell more.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of some of it. I know Ultraman looked interesting, but the actual, like, CG or concept animation was definitely kind of a turnoff for me.
Yeah.
And animation these days has been really weird of, like, they're trying to make it, I guess, better, but in some ways it seems they've made it worse. But maybe that's just my eyes. I am half blind.
I just don't like the hybrid stuff. My eyes are trying to focus or want it to be one thing, and it's not that thing. Because even in, like, the Broly movie, when the capsules, like, the ships are in space, they're, like, obviously, like, CG versus just animated.
Yeah.
And it looks kind of weird, but that's, like, not the majority of the animation or movies.
Yeah, I mean, I just watched the trailer real quick, and it looks like they just, it was like a cinematic cutscene type of, like, kind of thing. Like,
okay.
It's not, like, I don't think the CGI in it is terrible. They also put the Pikachu slapping each other at the end of the trailer, which is, like...
Come on.
That is disrespectful.
Why would you do that? That is, like, that's very aggressive. Why would I want to watch that? And it's, like, Ash yelling in the Japanese dub, which is, like, way more painful than, like, the, you know, English dub. So, I mean, it doesn't look terrible. I'll probably watch it for free somewhere. I'm gonna pay for it.
The other thing that I wanted to bring up, because of Pokemon Sun and Moon, is I actually remember PETA starting a Pokemon Black and Blue campaign, which I don't think we talked about on our first episode, about how much PETA is against Pokemon existing.
Yes.
So that was very interesting. And they got ratioed very hard on that tweet that they put out, because it just made no sense. Like, they literally made an entire, like, graphic and campaign around, like, pictures of very, very imaged, like, injured Pokemon. Ooh. And I was just like, this is...
Yeah, that was for when they were announced, I believe, Sword and Shield, correct?
No, I thought it was Sun and Moon, because it rhymes with
Black and Blue. I thought it was the other one. Okay. I do remember the image you're talking about, but I thought it was later than that.
Oh, I thought it was Sun and Moon just because of Black and Blue, Sun and Moon. Like,
could it have been for the Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon? Like, it was maybe? Like the next step? Yeah.
It was for a Pokemon game that people were excited about, and it was coming out in the blank and blank format.
Okay. So any Pokemon game, essentially. That doesn't really narrow it down that much.
I didn't realize they made this into, like, an actual game, like a little Flash game on their website.
I didn't realize that either. What the hell?
And they're, like, basically just ripping off McDonald's. Like, how do they get away with this? Like, how do they get away with, like, this dude looking like the Hamburglar and a dude looking like Ronald McDonald. Like, how did this work? They put a lot of work into this. Like, you're actually doing, like, Pokemon moves. Like, Pikachu just used Slam, guys. Like, why did they do this? Why did they think that this was going to be, that, like, Pokemon fans are going to be like, oh, Pokemon is so terrible. Why do we play this game? Like, no, come on, man. We know what we were doing.
Like I said, Generation 5 actually tries to tackle this as like a, is it okay for Pokemon to be fighting each other? That's like the whole plot of that game. I think people get too caught up on it. It's imaginary monsters. It is what it is.
Hey, my fan theory, like we talked about in that episode, is that like the Pokeballs are just like lavish mansions and they're just chilling in there. They got like the big screen set up.
Oh, 100%.
I also think that it's like super important to note that like Nintendo, I guess not, because I didn't know that that was like a topic in Gen 5, but I do know Matt and I went to IkiCon last year and they had Serenetta Chendi and I forgot Lisa. Her other name. She's the director of Sun
Lisa,
and Moon.
Lisa Ortiz, I believe.
Yeah, Lisa Ortiz. And they both talked extensively because somebody asked them in the crowd, what Pokemon would you have as a pet? And they just looked at each other and were like, under contract, we cannot describe Pokemon as animals. So that was, I mean, I'll probably talk about it later, but like getting to hear like Pokemon voice actors and directors talk was like, Nintendo has some strict ass rules, and one of them is do not refer to Pokemon as animals, which I think no fan abides by at all. Because
that was by far the weirdest panel ever. Of basically, I don't know, other than you showing up and saying hi, they basically were not allowed to say anything or do anything, pretty much. So it was very, very.
And they
weird.
Gave like a disclaimer in the beginning, like a 5-minute disclaimer, talking about how they are not here representing. Representing Nintendo, the anime, or any of the thoughts of the original creators of Pokemon, and this is not an official Pokemon panel to discuss Pokemon.
Huh.
It was all very right. weird.
But yes. Speaking of which, the voice actors, the TV anime still has now added 2 seasons, with Ultra Legends currently on its run now. And currently in, I believe, it's obviously running in Japan, and I believe it's still updating a little behind in North America. So they are still going strong in those areas, apparently.
Pokemon will never stop. That anime is going to continue on long after we're gone.
Yes, apparently it's in season 21 and 22.
Yeah.
What?
Is it because Ash never wins? Like, how can there can never be an end because he never wins?
If I remember correctly, at the end of X, Y, and Z, he gets very close. Like, he's fighting the champion, and he ends up losing.
I'm totally just going to keep referencing when we listened to people, when we went to that panel with those voice actors, because one of the audiences talked at the voice actors about that.
Okay.
And sorry. I specifically say talked at the voice actors. Because they just kind of went on like a 10-minute explanation as to why Ash should have won that season. And the voice actors were like, well, if you understand Pokemon, it's not about winning, it's about growing and
it's all about the journey, guys. Come on.
Yeah. But I still think Ash should win at least once.
I don't know, man, because like when I used to watch the show, he won the Indigo League or the Orange, what was it?
I think he won the Orange Islands.
He won the Orange League, and then wasn't he like Battle Frontier champion master something?
So
or
the
other?
Woman who voiced Ash said that he has only won something one time, and I trust her because she is the character.
I mean, I guess
I'm gonna
you
Google
can trust
it, cause
her.
Because I'm pretty sure he won, like, 2 things. And then...
He won two things in 22 seasons!
Hey, it's 2 things when I was watching, so that's all that matters to me.
2 things in 22 seasons.
Yeah, Orange League Champion, Master of Kanto's Battle Frontier, and the 8th Frontier Brain.
Okay, so and 2 things in 22 seasons.
And then the rest of it's, like, semifinalists in the Sinnoh League. I remember that. And then runner-up in the Liminos Conference? I don't even know what that is.
We're just making up names as we go.
But she did say, like, they went into, like, a long discussion, like, the director of Sun and Moon and her kind of, like, talked with each other about it and explained how, like, they have nieces and nephews who get really sad when Ash loses, but that from a directorial standpoint and as the property exists from Japan, the point of it is to teach children how to keep going after loss and not to teach them that winning is the end. Mm-hmm. And so it's supposed to, like, represent this, like, constant struggle for growth and like inspire kids that way. That's what they landed on, which I thought was really interesting. And Sarah, the voice of Ash, was just like, I can't look at my niece in the eyes and be like, yeah, he's gonna win sometime, honey, because he's just not.
He's not. Nah. He's not red. He wishes he was.
We know they're never gonna win, because then when they win, there's nothing to look forward to.
Do you like listening to But Why, though? Well, the PodQuain app is a podcast player that pays you to listen to this podcast and all of the podcasts that you love. Just get the PodQuain app on iPhone or Android and start listening today. It's free and super easy to use, with every minute you listen getting you sweet, sweet coins. It turns your podcast listening into charity, or if you like, just get some Amazon or Starbucks gift cards. I mean, getting paid to listen to podcasts, that's pretty cool. I use the PodQuain app to do all my podcast listening now, and I can be 100%. I love it. So, seriously, just go get the PodQuain app and use our invite code, but why though, and though, spelled T-H-O, you know, you listen to the show. You'll get 300 PodQuain just for signing up if you use our code. That's 300 PodQuain just for signing up if you use our code, but why though. Go give PodQuain a try today.
But moving on to kind of one of the big reasons that we're redoing this, and we've already mentioned quite a few, is the live-action Detective Pikachu, which released last week on May 10th, with Ryan Reynolds playing Pikachu and Justice Smith as Tim Goodman, a former Pokemon trainer. So the main question is, are we excited for, one, a Pokemon movie, then, two, live-action actual Pokemon?
I wasn't at first. They terrified me. I didn't know what to do. Like, it was just weird. Especially I'm still scared of Mr. Mime, by the way. Like, but somebody had mentioned that because they saw that I was scared of Mr. Mime, and they were like, okay, so you think it's weird that they have fur, but just imagine all of them as skin like Mr. Mime. And you'll appreciate the fur. And I was like, oh yeah, I do. But then we got more pictures and more like actual, I think the marketing campaign for Detective Pikachu has been really, really good in that, like, recently they've been releasing like up close images of like people's favorite Pokemon. And like, for me, when I saw it on the trailer in the theater, I was like, holy crap. One, this looks amazing, and two, like, I was stupid forever not being excited about live action Pokemon, because it just means I'm this much closer to having one of my own.
Anybody else excited?
I'm just taken aback by the fact that Kate wants her own Pokemon.
I do.
We all want our own Pokemon.
I was like, are you surprised?
Do
by
you
this
not want your own Pokemon?
I mean, yeah, but like, just like one step closer makes it seem, I don't know, it's too real.
There's always that, like, question, if you could go to any game universe, which one would you go to? And 100%, it's always Pokemon. I have a very low chance of dying, and I can actually be a master of something.
Yeah, and when something like bad, your memory bar. Just gets... When something bad happens and, like, the world's going to end, your memory just gets wiped at the end of the movie anyway. So, you know, it's all fine.
It's perfect.
I couldn't live in Pokemon, because then I have to eat Pokemon, and that still bothers me so much.
Nah, they'd be so tasty.
Magikarp was delicious.
I, for one, am like extremely excited about this movie. I am glad that they're just letting Ryan Reynolds be like comedic, because he does such a good job with like PR and stuff. I don't know if either of you guys saw his like going like into character and being method acting while doing Detective Pikachu. They did an interview with him and his wife, and it's honestly just pure comedy gold. this movie, this movie's coming out like on my birthday, and so I'm just like, yes, I'm turning 28. This is great. I'm going to celebrate being an adult by going to see Pokemon in theaters.
I'm with basically both of you. I'm actually excited. I was very hesitant, and I was like, this is going to be stupid. Because obviously, I've mentioned probably on other podcasts, of I'm not a fan of these Disney live actions that they're doing, and I think they're like totally unnecessary and thing. And then I kind of like with Kate, I don't remember what movie we went to. We saw the first trailer like actually in theaters, and I was like, I'm on board with this. I'm ready for this. And then like we've released more stuff. The Pokemon actually look pretty well done, at least so far, from what we've seen, compared to like, except some of this Disney live action stuff is like, oh, this is horrendous. But these Pokemon look pretty well done. I'm just excited, and I hope it is good. I want to say it's going to be good, but we'll have to see. But I'm actually surprised, but I'm glad they took this risk of actually doing this. I never thought we'd actually get to this point, for as much as we've had just to be in an anime, a manga, and video games, like to now get an actual, well, I guess you can't get a live action because that's all we do these days, but we finally got to this point after 20-something years.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. I've just been hurt so much by, like, video game adaptations and anime adaptations that, like, I'm always super weary. But when I saw the teaser trailer, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm in. I don't need any more. Like, I'm good. Like, this is I want this in my life. Give me Deadpool or anything, and it's the vibes I get. He's basically Pikachu as Deadpool as Ryan Reynolds, and I'm down with that. And I also really like Justice Smith in The Get Down. Justice Smith is the name? Yeah, Justice Smith in The Get Down. So I don't know how this won't be good. Like, I think something really wrong has to happen for this not to be good, just from everything that we've seen. And the Charizard looks so dope. I want one.
Yeah, question for all of you. Do you think it is going to finally break the curse and it'll be an actual good video game movie?
I mean, I don't think it's a curse because I feel like Tomb Raider was a good video game movie. But I digress. Yeah. It was a good video game movie.
Okay. Warcraft also isn't like actually as terrible as people say it is.
Once again, so. Yeah. Good video game movie. Raiders. Are we talking about like actual good movie where people actually can step outside the video game and like this movie? Is what I'm assuming you're trying to say.
Yeah. Okay. Will it be a good movie? Will it be a faithful adaptation? Because I feel like those are the two bars you have to really hit.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that makes sense because I know that, like, so the reason I just said, like, I think it's a curse because, like, both Tomb Raider adaptations are, like, unique, but, like, because everything else has sucked. But I do think, at least looking at it, I think it's going to be faithful so far as in-universe stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, I haven't played Detective Pikachu, but it looks like they have their crap together on, like, Pokemon lore, right? So, like, keeping everything tight into what exists.
Yeah, that's been one of, like, the great things watching those trailers is going, like, frame by frame to see, like, all the, like, little bits of, like, hey, you're keeping with the Pokemon universe. Here is the Sinnoh League Championship. Here's some of the legendaries you would expect to find. It's interesting to see them take, like, such great care and detail with the Pokemon universe. So I'm excited for this even more. I really hope it's going to be good.
So
I also think it's going to get people involved in it who don't know what Pokemon is, too. Because, like, that just looks like a fun movie to watch. Like, regardless of your attachment to the franchise or anything, I do definitely think it's going to get people in the seats. I'm hoping that it will get money because Endgame is winding down. Is it winding down? It's winding down, right?
It's been, what, almost 3 weeks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's winding down.
It's winding down. I don't think it's come to a stop by any means, but
we always have those random people but that for some reason go to the same movie over and over again. But I think outside of them, I think the general public, for the most part, if you want to see it, you've seen it. And they've given you plenty of opportunity to see it by now. I think you can. Well, I think we can get at least. I don't think it's going to affect Pikachu as much, especially with how much they did, like, theaters they had for the first 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. I mean, looking at, like, who's involved, I think it'll be fine. I mean, the director is Robert Letterman, who's done Shark Tale, Monsters vs. Aliens, Gulliver's Travels. you know, it's been
I
attached.
I forgot that movie existed.
I heard that mumble in there, and I was like, oh.
Monster vs. Aliens is really good, though.
Yeah, Monster vs. Aliens isn't bad, and I think Shark Tale's super underrated, so I think it'll be fine. I think at least in that front, it'll we're in, yeah.
So for you outside of obviously Kate, so the Pokemon that we have seen, I seem to recognize majority of them. Or do we have anything outside of Gen 1, Gen 2, Gen 3 Pokemon that we've seen so far? Or has it all been pretty much Gen 1 for the most part?
No, there's a big action sequence with a bunch of Greninja, which I believe, and don't shoot me on this, is Gen 6 or
are
Gen 5?
Are those the one in the trees?
Gen 6. They're like the frogs throwing shuriken.
Yeah, the ones in the trees?
Yeah.
The one like this?
And I believe they also, like, in one of the trailers, like, bust through a door and stuff and are trying to, like, attack. It seems like they're taking a healthy amount from every single generation. Obviously putting a bit more emphasis on the first generation because that is, you know, what people are most familiar with, especially since Let's Go just came out.
So I do want to know, too, like, from y'all's perspective, like, do you think the marketing is just focusing on Gen 1 to get... like to get parents on board, right? Like, because like god, like,
or even parents are just about like people like us.
Yeah.
Well, no, but no, so what I mean by that is like it hits into that nostalgia factor, but it's also like if you're a parent with a kid and you felt detached from the franchise because you've been looking at it through them and it's different and you only had it in the beginning, right? Like, and you lost I'm just trying to say, like, if you're a parent with a kid and, like, you only have that nostalgia piece and, or if you're, like, a get-off-my-lawn person who just doesn't understand what your kid's playing now, like, do you, like, that seems like a demographic that they're hitting with that. Well,
it's probably a lot of, hey, these are some of, like, the more nostalgic Pokemon. It also, like I said, is kind of, like, tying into Let's Go, which just came out last year, which brought in a lot of new fans and a lot of, like, old fans. And so showing some more of those Pokemon is like, oh, I know who that is. Maybe I will go see this. I think that's kind of what they're planning.
I think it's fair, because obviously, like...
Yeah, I mean, just from, like... I just, like, a quick do, so I'm curious, because I didn't go, like, frame by frame, but, like, just by doing a Google of, like, hey, who's in this thing... There's, like, a bunch of Pokemon that are just kind of... I don't know how big of a role they'll have, mm-hmm. but there's Pokemon... There's this one Pokemon called Boafalant, who looks like a Tauros, but, like, with an afro.
Yeah,
there's this bravery Pokemon that I don't know.
Who's... Okay, I got two
there's
questions.
This Omolaga, who looks like a little cute flying squirrel thing.
I got two questions. What is the name of the pink dog that has the angry face? And what is the name of the very memeable duck-billed guy with a hat and beard that looks like,
Psyduck,
oh my god, what's happening?
No,
it's
Ludicolo.
Yeah.
Who is it?
Ludicolo? I don't know if you pronounce it. You never hear the name Pokemon's names pronounced, so I never know how to pronounce any of them outside of, like, the TV show.
Pronounced? Don't they only say their name?
Well, if you're like me, you just read them on the game, and you never actually, you make your own
names. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh. Okay. That's fair. He looks kind of like a Psyduck, though. Cute. But what's the pink dog?
Oh, shoot. It starts with an S.
Awesome. That narrowed it down.
Yeah.
Listen, there are over 800 Pokemon. My brain is not as good as it used to be.
I mean, we only have 26 letters in the alphabet, and you eliminated 25 of them, so that's good.
Not going to lie, I kind of want to ask somebody to send us them saying naming
Snubble.
As many Pokemon as they can.
Snubble?
Snubble.
Oh, I was trying to figure out, like, who is she talking about?
Snubble?
Yeah, okay.
Snub.
Yeah, Snubble.
Snubble.
Yeah.
That's adorable.
That's what, Gen 3, I think?
So I think I can thank Gen 8 and the Detective Pikachu movie for me being like, okay, maybe these Pokemon I don't know are actually pretty cool because they're adorable.
What, there's an Octillery in this movie? It's Perfect. A giant octopus. Why? How is that thing on land?
Kaiju in this movie too?
I mean, like, not like giant, but like probably like an 8 foot tall octopus.
That's pretty giant.
Yeah.
That's not that big. Especially for like an octopus or creatures in the sea.
Sorry, that was like a long time talking about Detective Pikachu, but like,
no, that
I
was
excited.
Good. That was one of the main
long
things.
Story short.
Yeah, that was one of the main things I did want to hit, because that is one of the big things coming out for like this, not really renaissance, but like kind of revival in Pokemon, it seems like, since this. Kind of we touched on here, but kind of moving into the next big thing of like, a lot of the games have come out and they've actually been relatively done and really good. We did Celebrate Sun and Moon, which was kind of like, I think it was like on the Wii U, if that's correct, or something?
When it no, it's on the 3DS.
3DS, that's correct. I think it was something that nobody owned. But now they got Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee, which came out in November of 2018. Kind of remakes of Pokemon Blue and Red, and kind of inspired by Pokemon Yellow with this blend. And sadly, I don't own a Switch, so I couldn't play it, but it was one of those, like, I was ready to go play this game for sure. And definitely brought back the Pokemon Red vibes that I grew up playing. And I know one of you have at least played this.
Yeah, I've played through Sun and Moon, Ultra Sun and Moon, and then Let's Go. I really love all these. Sun and Moon takes place in Alola, which is the Pokemon universe's version of Hawaii. And so you're getting a mix of like Kanto Pokemon with these new Pokemon and add some variants to your favorite Pokemon. So things evolve a bit differently. You can get a Vulpix that is ice, like typing, and it evolves into an ice Vulpix, and it's perfect. It's honestly my favorite Pokemon, out of the new stuff. But then, you know, you also get the return of, like, Gen 1 with the Let's Go mechanics with Let's Go Eevee and Let's Go Pikachu. And those games are just a ton of fun. It was one of those games I got to play at E3 last year. And I was just sitting there, like, playing it, throwing the Pokeball at the, like, screen, essentially, and being like, wow, I didn't think I was going to enjoy this, but it is so relaxing, and I wasn't expecting that.
I do know one of the things that Kate's really enjoyed, even though she hadn't played it, watching it, is they allow you to not only run around with, I believe, Eevee or Pikachu, but you also get to choose one Pokemon to actually follow you and not just you running around.
Yeah, that's something that Pokemon Yellow first did with Pikachu, right. And then Heart Gold and Soul Silver allowed you to do it with any Pokemon, and that was a remake of Gen 2. And so this is just, you know, taking that idea and applying it to the original 151. I personally got, like, the Mew from the little Pokeball and traveled around with a Mew the entire time, and it was perfect.
Mew's so cute.
Mew is my favorite Pokemon of all time, and some friends of mine just got back from Japan, and they got me Mew chopsticks and a little chopstick holder, and it is the cutest thing I've ever seen.
That is so adorable.
So I guess moving from there, we got Smash Bros. Unlimited, came out in December of 2018, which Pokemon also are pretty big in that game as well.
Ultimate. Yes, they are big in that game.
Yes.
You said Unlimited.
Oh, my bad. I thought I said Ultimate.
Yeah, I mean, Pokemon people are crazy, man. I'm just trying to protect you on the Twitters.
I went through that thing, and I saw Pokemon people talk, and I was like, they're on a whole nother level. I will never be on this level. I'm uncomfortable right now.
Yeah, I can talk a great deal about Pokemon until we get into, like, the TGC, like, current meta and the, like, competitive scene. That is beyond my understanding.
Yeah, we touched on a little bit in our episodes. So I'm hoping, like, that's enough because, I mean, to be honest, like, a lot of those championships are for kids. Like, there's, like, one adult division and, like, 17 kid divisions.
Yeah, the TGC, I couldn't keep up with it anymore. I hopped back into it a tiny bit about 5 or 6 years ago, but outside of going to like one tournament, I was just like, this isn't for me. Competitive Pokemon, that takes this pretty like simplistic JRPG and changes everything I know about it. And I'm just like, how was there this many levels to this game that I just never cared about?
Yeah, I think I said it in our other side, because I was lucky enough to get my parents into Pokemon. I was like, Mom, you and Dad can play each other, and then y'all can compete, which they love to do. So we got into it, and we had quite a bit of Pokemon cards, and we would go to like the local comic book shop, you know, every other weekend and play. So I don't know, maybe 4 years ago or so, we were like, oh, hey, they're doing this tournament thing. We still have all of our old Pokemon cards that were legit back in the day. Let's just go play. And then I find out that like Pokemon like standard go up to like 140 HP.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of the cards that we used to play with aren't even in like circulation anymore. And I was like, oh, well, this little 8-year-old's about to kick my ass because his Pokemon are all way stronger than mine.
Yeah, with a bunch of the like TGC stuff, they do like seasons for the packs, and only certain seasons are like viable or like you can actually use in tournaments. And the older stuff is just like completely like weak in comparison. They actually did like a re-release of a bunch of the old cards, bringing them up to power, which is cool if you liked the old design, but. I don't know. I couldn't get back into it.
Yeah, which kind of leads to basically the new game coming out that was just announced this year in February, Pokemon Sword and Shield. It will be released later in 2019. And also basically to the next starting point, which Kate has been wanting to talk about this entire episode, starts Generation H. And so Generation H, along with Pokemon Sword and Shield, was announced in February. We got the new starter so far. Sobble, which is the water, Grokey, or whatever you want to call that thing, is the grass. Scorbunny is the fire. We got some logos, and apparently taking place in the setting of Galar region, which kind of looks almost like Great Britain.
Yeah, if you take the map and you, I think, flip it upside down, it is Great Britain.
Yes.
Which is cool. With Generation 6, I think we got Paris. 5 takes place in like New York, America area. So they're jumping all over the map, which is cool. Finally moving outside of just Japan.
Yeah, no, I looked at the map when I was obviously doing these, and I saw between the cities of mountains. It actually looks like a really cool map to explore. It, like I said, the variety of regions they have within this island, or whatever you want to call it, basically an island, yeah. Look like it could be a lot of fun to play in. So I guess now that we have this is here, this is cool. What do y'all think of these starters? Do you have a favorite? Are you picking one? Are you even interested so far in this?
I currently love all these starters. I really am hoping that Scorbunny is not another firefighting Pokemon, because that's been the problem with fire Pokemon for the past few generations, where I think it's like of the like 7 current like Pokemon like generations, 3 of the like fire starters are firefighting, and that typing's just overplayed at this point. It's a bit boring. I'm definitely going to be playing through this game multiple times, so I don't know who I'm going to be picking, but probably gonna go with Sobble, just because, like I said, connects to me on that deep level of we're both depressed creatures.
Kate, here's your opportunity, go for it.
Sobble is the bestest of boys. And he is amazing, and I honestly I don't know anything about him other than he's a water Pokemon and that he's adorable and that he just looks like he needs a hug, and lately I've needed hugs, and he just speaks to me on a deep level. And I've seen a whole bunch of people selling plushies on Etsy, and it takes everything in my power to not buy one because they are adorable.
You should buy yourself 2. That way he can have a friend.
Oh, Matt!
No. I'm not a good influence.
And buy a big Sobble and a little Sobble. But no, one of the things that has been kind of weird for me is just the names of these Pokemon. Like, even when Adrian was saying, like, naming some of the Pokemon they saw, I'm just like, what the hell? I don't even know if I can pronounce this. But, like, the names of these, Sobble and Scorbunny and Grookey, like, those are easy names. And they're cute names, and they're adorable names, and I want to hug Sobble, because he's so cute. And maybe give him some Xanax. We could both use that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm mainly excited because I have something to play the games on. I haven't had something to play the games on in a long time. So I'm genuinely excited. I think you're right, Ryan, about the whole firefighting thing, because I personally thought Blaziken was dope. But then
I hate that fire chicken so much.
And then I got Infernape in the next one.
Yep.
And then I was like, I don't want to play this anymore. And then they gave us Emboar in the next one. I didn't play that one, but I'm like, you're just giving me the same things over and over again. And I don't want that. I'm kind of sad I didn't play the last one, because Fire Dark sounds cool and Linton looks like a cute kitty and I want it.
Yeah, Incineroar, I'm glad he's Fire Dark, but man, does his design scream firefighting. And I think they saw that and they were like, oh, we intended for him to be firefighting, but then we realized we couldn't do that again.
And so
we
switch
him over to Dark real quick. It's fine. So, he's a wrestler who's Fire Dark.
He's got the belt and everything. Uninitiated, can you explain what those two things mean?
It's just the like typing. So after, even in Gen 1, each Pokemon has like a type. And so a lot of the starter Pokemon no longer are just pure fire, water, or grass. A lot of them have like a secondary typing to them. So fire, fighting, like water, fairy. The Gen 7 grass Pokemon is grass ghost, and it's like an owl. It's great. It just makes them a bit more viable in the late game.
Okay, that's interesting. And
yeah, but yeah, Scorbunny looks dope.
Do you like Scorbunny?
Scorbunny,
I personally didn't like the way the Scorbunny design so far.
I also always pick fire. Like, it can be the ugliest Pokemon ever, but I'm always picking fire.
That's what I'm saying. I usually like to pick fire, but yeah. I don't really like that it's just a little bunny rabbit. Like, what are you lighting on fire?
You take that back, Matt.
What? What? What do you mean? Just a little. The other one, just a little monkey, and the other one, just like
a little frog,
a thing, a little
tadpole,
polywag,
and not recognizable.
A little polywag wannabe.
Yeah, but polywags at least like water, and monkeys definitely
looks like polywag, and like Mudkip had a baby, and that's what came out.
That's why it's so sad.
I will say these Pokemon at least look like, because obviously I've not followed up, especially past like probably Gen 1 and whatnot. These do look like pretty well done starters for the most part so far, what we've seen in the design. It should be interesting to see what they evolve into. We don't really have a lot of information as all. I guess if you had to pick one right now to start with, who are we going with?
Sobble.
Yeah, I'd go Sobble as well, even though really I'm going to wait until I see those final evolutions.
Not Scorbunny. It could just be a giant fat bunny and I'm still down. Like that dude, Scorbunny can turn into like Tortoro and like just be like a Snorlax level fighting Pokemon and a Snorlax level fire Pokemon and I'm still down.
Oh gosh.
I mean, I'd be
sad.
Actually
what
into
if,
that too.
What if like Sobble's evolution just has Sobble getting increasingly sadder?
What if he just becomes a real buff, sad Pokemon?
Yeah, like what if like he just looks sadder in each iteration?
Why?
I don't know.
Is his final evolution me? Because that's about as low as you can get.
Bring on the brightest of people. But no, we have... I will say I'm kind of with the boat of Ryan. I'd probably be Sobble, but I do like to see the last actual evolution before I would select one. But if I had to take a starter based on stuff. I like the fire,
Why?
But I'm not a fan of the bunny.
Why would you pick Sobble, though? I'm really interested.
Huh? I think...
Why would you pick Sobble?
One is blue. I don't like the designs of the other two. One just looks like a generic bunny, and the other one just like a generic monkey. And I'm like, I don't know what this is. This looks a lot better. Plus, like we all said, he just looks like the saddest and could use a friend to go Pokemon with.
So Sobble is just going to have the most usage as a starter because people just want him to not be alone, is what you're saying.
Most likely.
100%.
No. I know one thing, briefly, people were kind of, I don't know how you felt, Ryan or even Adrian, if you've seen the logos, people were kind of not really disappointed, but it wasn't like the thing where they literally just put a wolf on a sword and a wolf on a shield.
I mean, the logos for Sun and Moon were just a sun and a moon, so. Like,
I guess that people were hoping for something different, per se.
Yeah, I don't know, I kind of like that it's going into that, like, Great Britain, old school, like, medieval, like, style. I'm curious to see how this is going to affect like the title Pokemon, the cover Pokemon, like those legendaries, if they are going to be wolf based, just because we got a bunch of like, I guess it was more like a dog, but like a wolf Pokemon last generation. So I'm curious to see how this is going to affect the game. But I have no strong opinions on it right now.
I really don't have any opinions on it either because they're kind of just like running out of shit to call things. Like there's only so many like contrasting color combinations / like mineral combinations that you can make before you start running out of stuff and just have to start, well, pencil and pen. But I don't know. I mean, and I don't even know which one I'd get. I guess I'd have to go with the Shield one because it's red. So
I'm going to hold off until I see which one corresponds with which legendary.
Guys, Pokemon Salt and Pepper.
It's just one big cooking game where you have to beat Brock at the end.
Oh, man, you're going to cook up so many good Pokemon in that game.
Oh, no! What did I do?
There it is. I'm done.
Well, I'm going to be picking up Pokemon Salt for sure.
Oh, my God. No.
But as far as that's pretty much about all of our new stuff that we've been announced, I mean, that's actually, to me, kind of quite a bit in just a year and a half. It does seem, like I said, not necessarily Renaissance, but does seem we are getting a lot more Pokemon than they are doing. And we kind of touched on it, but I do want to mention that, like, I feel like all this content is good because it's quite a bit of, like, we got the old reboots of, like, the movies. We got the nostalgia factors, like, kind of the red and blue stuff. But we also have a new generation and even Detective Pikachu moving forward. So I think we got a nice blend of this whole, like, it kind of touches everybody. And so I guess out of all that, what are all of you excited for? I mean, out of all of that, the most?
For me, I'm most excited for Generation 8. This is the first time a, like, core main series Pokemon game is coming to a home console. For me, this is huge. I'm streaming with you guys these past few weeks now, so I'm excited for November to kick around because that is all I'm going to be playing on the stream. Nonstop is going to be Pokemon. Good luck trying to stop me. For me, like, one of my biggest hesitations is, like, they recently, with Generation 6, introduced the Pokebank, which allows you to, like, transfer your Pokemon from game to game over the internet and store thousands of Pokemon, and it's how I've been able to collect all the Pokemon. If Generation 8 comes out and they don't have the Pokebank on the Switch, it'll mean that all my Pokemon are trapped on the 3DS and I want to transfer them over. I want to have a complete Pokedex moving forward. So
Wait. You mean you want to be able to, like, day one transfer over 800 Pokemon to your game?
Usually 799. What they do is they release the Pokebank about a month or two after the release of a game. So it won't be day one, but it will be, you know, in that first year, having all the Pokemon. And it's why I've been, like, it's why I completed the Pokedex in Sun. It's why I've been, like, constantly trying to get them all, is because I want them all in one place, in one box, because that just, I don't know, it ticks a little box for me.
Are you trying to say that you're trying to catch them all?
I am trying to say I'm trying to catch them all. I want to be the very best.
To be the very best.
Like, no one ever was.
I will say, I do like the mention of the stuff because I will. They've always seemed to be more like on your Game Boys, your 3DSs, and now having this on Switch, I think, will be very big. And I think that was a great design. It's sad that we don't have a Switch, but the Switch seems to be a very promising console, especially with the.
You still got time to get one.
It's not that I won't get one. It's just,
It's November, man. Start saving now.
Just send me your old one. I know you can't. You can only have.
Yeah,
one
you know day. I. When Nintendo announces, like, the Switch 2.0. I might send you my old broken one. It still plays on the TV fine. It just really can't do handheld very well.
Also, it can't do its main function.
I'm okay with that.
Keeps saying that we're not going to get a Switch for Ultimate Alliance 3, but we're going to get a Switch.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to happen.
On Game Boys so 4 Endgame, we reviewed Ultimate Alliance 1 and 2, and now everyone's convinced about getting 3, and I'm very excited.
I love Ultimate Alliance, except for that one time Matt had Infinity War spoiled for.
It is what it is. They're still great games. But no, I think overall, I mean, I guess, Adrian, you have a Switch. Are you now excited that you feel you can play these games as well?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the biggest reasons that I'm going to be picking up the new gen. I did pick up Let's Go Pikachu and stuff because, like, all the reviews I said it was basically, like, not... It didn't seem like it was, like, you know, a traditional, you know, JRPG thing.
Oh, it's definitely
not.
It's much more simplified.
Yeah, and I didn't know if I wanted to spend money on, like, a better version of, like, Pokemon Go, which is, you know, I don't need to play it. But I'm excited for the new game mainly because I'm excited for the fire starter looking person. And the new region looks cool. I'm excited for the new region. It's one of the things that I like most about these games is that each region is a little bit different. So I'm excited to see like how this plays into kind of like the world building of this. And obviously excited for Detective Pikachu. I mean, we're recording this the day before it comes out, so I will be in my seat and probably would have watched it in the next 24 hours. So I'm hoping that I come out liking it and wanting my own Pokemon like Kate.
Yeah, when they announced Detective Pikachu's release date, I literally was like, wow, the world just gave me a birthday gift. This is perfect.
I guess we'll be all excited for all these things. Do you think we'll get more? I mean, do you think this, I mean, obviously this looks good. Do you think we'll get, if Pikachu succeeds, do you think we'll get more live action movies?
Depending on how this does, I mean, I predict this is going to make some serious money. I know the Switch game is going to sell. We're going to be getting more Pokemon. I'm curious as to see where they go with Detective Pikachu. I don't know that it immediately lends itself to a sequel, but we'll see. It should be exciting. I think we're going to be getting more. Like I said, Pokemon's going to outlast all of us at this point.
Yeah, I'm Camp Ryan, mostly because if when we were at EEcon in that panel, there were, I mean, and it kind of goes back to what we talked about in the first time we covered it. There are so many generations of Pokemon fans. Like, this is something that is, like, it's not a flash in the pan, and it's something that is sustained through multiple people, multiple types of people, multiple fans. And I do think that Pokemon, as it exists, is one of those unique franchises that hasn't forgotten its original fan base. Like, I think that there are a lot of times when you have reboots and remakes and, like, things that go on for so long that sometimes they either forget their original fan base and cater only to new fans, or you, and I kind of think like Supernatural, where they don't care about new fans, they're just there for the original fan base. And I think that Pokemon has struck this balance that is gonna make it, like Ryan said, outlast us all, because it has so much love from so many areas of life. And I think all that Detective Pikachu shows is that it's just expanding its reach. I don't see Pokemon ending anytime soon.
Yeah, there's no way it does, especially since it's still like the highest grossing media franchise like of all time. Like, beating out basically anything you can think of, you know. And it's that's Pokemon. Like, that's not like Star Wars or Star Trek or,
I mean, I think half of the sales are just me.
Like, they have way too much money in the game to like let this die, so they have to keep doing things well to keep people going. And I think Sword and Shield and Detective Pikachu are steps in that right direction, and then they're just going to keep increasing that gap of, you know, how much money and franchising that they're going to make from all this.
Yeah, we'll say it's pretty good that we mentioned, because we talked about before, of like the new content, old time, we don't hear Pokemon fatigue. We're hearing like we're actually excited for new stuff.
Yeah. No, yeah. Pokemon, I think every generation does a really good job of introducing new Pokemon, and while you're playing the game, also like peppering in a few of the older Pokemon. So when you do encounter like a Pokemon from Gen 1, you're like, oh, wow, I wasn't expecting that in this region. That's cool. And so you get a little bit of nostalgia with like each adventure, and it keeps returning fans like happy while also introducing new fans to the older generations.
And that's not to say that Pokemon haven't been popular, obviously the highest grossing franchise and everything else, but it does seem within the last 2 years, especially since we recorded this, that it seemed to be almost getting more in the general audience mainstream type
ordeals. Yeah.
Like, before it was like, yeah, there's a ton of people playing Pokemon, but they were a select group. Now it's like, any person I know that may not know anything other than they heard Pikachu, like, I'm gonna go see Detective Pikachu.
Yeah, I think too, like, I feel like we're kind of at, I feel like we're at Pokemon Go type level hype and like visibility, but in a different way. Like, this actually feels sustained. Whereas like Pokemon Go was one of those things where it was everywhere and everybody loved it and everybody was doing it and everybody was talking about it. But given the nature of the game, it seemed very much like a fad, and that's kind of what it had been for, you know, they had a little lull. A lot of that was Niantic's optimization issues. But this it feels like it's that level of visibility and love, but it feels different. Like it's the same in scope, but I think different in sustainability.
Well, and I'm going to hate myself for using this word, but it is the Pokemon Company displaying great like synergy of having Let's Go come out, introducing like new fans to the franchise, getting back some old fans, giving you Detective Pikachu, which is a family friendly like movie, so all generations can go see it, and then giving you a new main series Pokemon game on the same console that Let's Go came out on. And it's like, yeah, you got in this 1 year, you guys are just killing it
by far.
Do you think any Pokemon die in Detective Pikachu?
Don't you dare, Adrian. I just saw a GIF of sad Pikachu, and I can't handle that because it's too freaking real, and it reminds me of my dog looking sad. So don't you put that on this podcast.
There's that sad Pikachu sitting next to like the fountain, and I'm just like, oh man, this movie's gonna have some feels, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a detective movie. Something's got to die. And it's a world full of Pokemon, so like chances are it's going to be a Pokemon.
I'm not ready for that.
Kate's just in shell shock right now.
I didn't think about that. And I'm like, I've been through enough tears in the theater this past freaking 2 weeks. Like, I...
No.
Nope.
I can't.
It's okay, man. You kill, be you with kill John your... Wick.
Yeah, and you kill your rivals Raticate in, like, Gen 1 stuff. So, like, they're used to, like, letting you kill stuff.
Yep. God, I just remembered how dark a lot of like, anime and anime-based stuff is. And then how, like, in America, because of 4Kids TV, we get that taken away. And yes. It just made me think of Yu-Gi-Oh!
Yeah, you guys talked about this on your Pokemon episode. Pokemon, like, the manga is pretty dark, and then...
Pokemon, like, yeah, they get, like, split in half.
The original game had, like, the Pokemon Tower, and the first Pokemon you encounter is, like, in there, just the ghost of a Marowak, and it's like, oh, I don't know how I'm handling this now.
Yeah, I thought about that question. I didn't put it on here, obviously, at the end, but it was something I was wondering if it was going to come up. And I kind of was just hoping because I feel there's going to be Pokemon's going to die. And I don't know.
Matt, you would have been sleeping on the couch if you put these in this notes. I'm not even joking. I can't deal with that.
But that's all I have for this. I guess either last thoughts or anything else that anybody has.
I mean, not anything that we've already said, but like I was worried. I guess we recorded this last time because Pokemon Go like was kind of on its like downslide like a little bit because of all of the issues with the you know, the developers and things like that. Then they picked up, and I think that kind of got us off into this nice little roller coaster back to the top of like peak Pokemon hype. And I think we're about to we're at the pinnacle, and I'm super excited to see where our loop-de-loop goes when Detective Pikachu and then Sun and Moon come out this year.
Make Sword and Shield come out this year.
I can't. Whenever I hear loop de loop, that's all I hear about. That's all I think now. Thank you, SpongeBob.
We can't take you in public. All right, what do you got for us, Kate?
I'm just really excited. I'm really excited, and kids can get on my lawn. They can't ruin my grass, but I'll let them stand there for a little bit. I think that they're right now, especially like with how bad everything is in the world and how, I mean, I'm a negative person, so I have nothing against negativity. Like, I'm very negative. But I do think that there are some points where you just need something that is just going to uplift you, and which is why I don't want a freaking Pokemon to die. But
I don't think a Pokemon's going to die.
I hope.
Don't lie to her like that, Ryan.
Matt! But
a human might die.
Nobody can see it, but Adrian is doing a gun hand to the camera, and I hate him a little bit right now.
There is that episode of Pokemon where a guy points a gun at a Growlithe.
And 4Kids changed it to a finger gun?
Yep. Sounds right.
I do think that there are some things that you just need to have that are just really pure and good. And I do think that, like, when it comes to a lot of, like, I say this as a horror fan, I say this as a very negative person, I'm very thankful for Detective Pikachu coming out, because I do think that that's something that I need. It's also one of the reasons why I really like kids movies, even though those are extremely depressing a lot of the time, looking at you, Wonder Park. But I think that it's really good, and I think it just proves why Nintendo doesn't have to, like, do anything, why all of the companies are usually fighting at E3 and Nintendo's just, like, in the back eating an ice cream sandwich. Like, because it just knows how to tap into your heart in a different way. Like, and I think it's because, like, they've been able to position themselves in this unique spot where they kind of grab everybody as kids. So regardless of what generation you are, you have childhood memories of a Nintendo property. And I think that that's why when I think of Pokemon, I just think about being happy. Until somebody mentions Pokemon the first movie and I think of the Pikachu slapping each other. But, like, it, I'm just happy. Like, and I'm, like I said, I'm a negative person. So, like, that means a lot to me. But yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited for Pokemon Go. I'm excited for where Pokemon's going, and eventually we will get a Switch in this household, and I will just play a crap ton of Pokemon while we're waiting in line at conventions.
I mean, that's what I've done at conventions past, and
that's why I want a Switch now, because so literally good. Everybody, like, whether you're an exhibitor, press, just a regular con goer, everybody has a damn Switch with them because it's, like, so cool.
Yeah, I don't really know what I'm going to do this E3 when my Switch doesn't do handheld and I'm just going to be stuck in line. Talk to people?
Same thing the rest of us do. Anything last thoughts for... thank you for coming on, Ryan. Do you have anything to close out for your Pokemon thoughts?
No, I just really love Pokemon. I'm excited to get more of it.
Have you seen that video of Black Guy Loves Pokemon?
No, I don't believe I have.
Oh, man. Can we put it in the show notes? Yeah. Oh, it's so good. I just love Pokemon. Oh, man, it's so good.
I know I sent you guys the Polygon, what was that? It was like a convention panel where the guy did a poker rap for all 800 Pokemon. It's very good.
So Ash, one of our writers and podcasters in the But Why Though community, she, like, posts videos of her, like, singing Pokemon all the time, like, with her guitar, and it is the purest joy in the entire world that I'm happy they exist. Also, Drunk Kate karaoke'd Pokemon because I knew the words, so that also is out there. I'm not going to tell you where you can find it.
There's a video somewhere of one of my best friends playing the ukulele and playing the second theme song, and me and my other friend, like, backup dancing to it. It's out there somewhere. It's really good. That song's so good. Yeah. But Ryan just saying, I just love Pokemon, reminds me of this video of this guy just for 4 minutes just saying how much he loves Pokemon, and it's amazing, and it makes me think. Again, like Kate said, just makes me happy. It just makes me real happy.
Cool. Well, once again, thank you, Ryan, for coming on. It's been a pleasure. Pokemon does seem to be good. I'm kind of excited to see where it's going. Like I said, being on a Switch, and possibly a Switch seemed to be more obtainable, as weird as it says, than like a DS, just because, like, it has more value. But so hopefully one day get to play and Detect Pikachu. And Kate, take us out of here.
Yeah. So if you want to support the show a little bit more, head on over to patreon.com/ but why though. Check out our tiers, get some exclusive episodes. I think the next thing we're doing on there is putting up a Detective Pikachu review, and we have our movie review of the Zodiac as well. Yeah, just come support us there. But if you can't, that's totally understandable. And you can also support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to us wherever you listen. It helps other people find us, and it's one way to get the word out. And Ryan, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
Yeah, so you can find me on Twitter at RPCappy. You can find me where I have my podcast on Goomba Stomp. It's called Game Boys. It's all about co-op and multiplayer gaming. And you can actually find me right here on But Why Those Twitch on Tuesdays and Thursdays streaming.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me, guys.
And if I'm sure we missed something because the Pokemon world is vast.
Oh, I do remember one thing you guys missed. Bulbasaur is trash, and I need to set the record there for Buttwide, though, because there are some people in this community who are just wrong about this. And
dude, you're so right. Why do people love this trash Pokemon? He's statistically like the worst starter in the game.
He's adorable.
Awful. He's the worst.
But he is terrible, though.
No, all three of you can get out. No. No.
He's bad.
You all are
I've said my piece.
Awful humans.
As the Pokemon expert on this episode, it's just going to have to
awful
be the law.
Awful humans, the lot of you. That might be the hottest of takes on freaking the show, and that's saying a lot.
I think the problem is that y'all have the hot takes, but because y'all run the Twitter, like, it doesn't seem like it's a hot take. But I'm pretty sure if you go, like, ask, next time we're at a con, we're like, hey, what's your opinions on Bulbasaur? And they're going to be like, he sucks in Generation 1.
I think the 800 people who liked and retweeted the Bulbasaur tweet.
He just looks cute in that thing. But he's terrible in the game, okay?
There are now 8 generations, and there are 7 better grass Pokemon.
I was excited to see you at PAX West, and now I'm not.
That's fair.
Anyway, if you want to join this heated discussion and help and tell us how much you love Bulbasaur, you can find us on Apple Why Though PC on all of our social media, mostly Twitter. That's where we're the most active. And you can find me at OmemithRandier on Twitter, where I am currently sharing apparently 2 very hot take articles about Sansa and Black Widow. So, Adrian?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at SuperReese93, SuperReuiz93. And feel free to come at me about your Bulbasaur takes because you're wrong.
Matt.
One, I will say one of our contributors actually made a Tableau display of all Pokemon statistics to prove that Bulbasaur is terrible.
That is not why he made that.
That is not why he made that, but that's what the data
says. Oh my god, no!
It's probably why he made it. The truth's out there, people.
You are
but yes,
all
we do have an
people.
Entire data statistical analysis of all Pokemon stats.
Matt's not being hyperbolic. It's really cool. Shout out to Swarasale.
But as far as you can find me, you can find me. I'm going to go hang out with Pikachu, and we're going to drink. He can drink his coffee, and I'm going to drink Bang over and over until we run out of probably have cardiac arrest.